Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin has another great deal to talk about this week.
Yeah, we're featuring the 2015 Ford Taurus SEL. But right now, Ford and Sunbury Motors are offering rebates and incentives of up to $7,000 off the Ford Taurus 2015 model, or you can get 0% financing for 60 months in lieu of some rebates, or even 1.9% if you want to go to 72 months. And then you can have a 2015 Ford Taurus that has sync with My Ford Touch, the 8-inch screen, plus the added center channel speaker. You can have push-button start with keyless entry. Of course, the power adjustable pedals to go along with the power seats. So if you've always wanted to find that sweet spot, you get the seat adjusted in just the right spot, and then it's like too close for your legs. And then you adjust it again, and then your arms are feeling kind of uncomfortable, even with the telescopic steering wheel. Well, this way you can adjust the seat, the telescopic steering wheel, and the pedals to find the absolute most comfortable position. And won't that be nice for long trips this summer with the family? And you'll have a ton of room in the trunk, I can guarantee you, for everything you're going to bring with you. The 2015 Ford Taurus SEL, also available in the models of SE, Limited, and Show. EcoBoost engines are available as well from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury. Find out more at my Facebook page or follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr for the details.
You're still a little obsessed about the seat.
Well, but you know what? That's one of the things
Do we need to hear about your seat?
The vehicle seat, Stephen. The vehicle seat. But that's one of the things that always annoys me in a car. There's like one spot that I feel really comfortable, and that's like, well, the steering wheel's not in the right spot. Now I got to adjust that. Now, wait a minute. That's good, but now my legs are cramped. All right, now I have to readjust that. With having the adjustable everything, I literally have my perfect spot. And then you can get the memory settings, and then my wife doesn't mess them up.
No one can complain. No one is shocked that you complain. No one.
I want what I want, Steve.
It's a great deal and a great vehicle. All at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
I just want what I want. I want it perfect.
I understand. I just felt that during the course of the winter season, you were too obsessed with having a warm seat.
Listen, that seat's cold in the morning.
Sure.
Now I'm obsessed with air-conditioned seats.
There you go. Good. All right. That's all at our good friend Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Cubes, 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Big news of the day is about Robert Kraft saying, look, he's had a couple of long conversations with Commissioner Roger Goodell. The Patriots are not going to appeal the sanctions against them. They had until Friday to do so to file. They are not going to file. They will accept the $1 million fine, the first-round pick in 2016, the fourth-round pick in 2017. So they're not going to do that. That is under the category of what's best for the league. And I don't blame him for being upset. I don't blame him for being beyond upset, being mad, because it's the heaviest sanction ever against a club. At the same time, you have to have the Wellington Mara attitude. And Wel Mara, the late owner of the New York Giants, Pete Rozelle went to him with an idea. He said, look, I want to do one full package. Everybody gets TV package. Everybody's going to get the same amount of money. And let's face it, the New York Giants in the 50s and 60s were going to command more advertising dollars. They would have more viewers and thus command more money if they struck out on their own than what the Green Bay Packers could do splitting between Green Bay and Milwaukee. Mara, though, saw the big picture. What's best for the league? It is not good for a league. It's not good for a league to have weak franchises moving or folding. And I believe the last franchise in the NFL to fold was the old Dallas Texans. They really sort of came back as the Colts. But the old Dallas Texans in the 50s actually played in Hershey. They played a home game or two home games in Hershey, believe it or not. They're the last NFL team to fold. That's why when baseball, 15 years ago, was talking about reducing teams, retraction, I thought, what a step backwards. I thought that was all wrong. I find that all wrong. To me, stabilization of franchises, maybe the door opening to expansion, but you don't want... This is not... Leagues are not survival of the fittest. That's why you have so many... Like the NFL, the NBA draft lottery is tonight. And it's an interesting time in the NBA. The Hawks are in the conference final for the first time since 1970. We're going to have Mike Conti on, who does the pregame and postgame for the Hawks tomorrow. Used to work up here in State College. We're going to have, and Mike Muscala, of course, plays for the Hawks. Golden State is in the conference final for the first time since 1976. The Cavaliers with LeBron are now back in it for the first time since they had LeBron after four last place finishes. And the Houston Rockets are in the conference final for the first time in 20 years. So for the first time in a while, there's a little bit of balance across the landscape in the NBA. You need some balance in your leagues. It's important. Wellington Mara understood it. Today, Robert Kraft understands it. Could he sue the league? Yes. Would he have a shot at winning based on that report? Yes. But I think he had the ability to pull a Wellington Mara and say, you know what? This is what's best for the league. Roger Goodell knows how I feel because I've had a couple of very long conversations from what all the reports say. But in the end, did what he thought was best for the league. No litigation. Now, Brady has appealed it. That's through the National Football League Players Association. But you have to wonder if Kraft accepting the team penalties opens the door for a reduction of penalties individually for Tom Brady. You have to do, at times, as much as it hurts, there are times you have to do things that are best for the overall group. The Patriots are not the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Robert Kraft and Jeffrey Lurie are probably in a little bit different stratosphere among NFL owners. Sometimes you have to do that. Next up, interesting thing that James Franklin talked about today in the Caravan Stop in Philadelphia, and that is cost of attendance. Cost of attendance, and we'll talk about this with Jim Delaney when we have him on the show next Wednesday. Cost of attendance is a very interesting thing. Penn State is number one in the Big Ten in cost of attendance. You realize that? Penn State will be able to give a stipend of $4,500 to their student athletes on full scholarship, which means all the football players, all the men's basketball players. Michigan State, on the other hand, can only do $1,700 per. And what's really odd about this is that the NCAA and conferences, Big Ten, I mean, think about this. What do they try to do at all times, idealistically? What do they try to do? They're constantly trying to even the playing field. Everybody has 85 scholarships. Can't give out more than 25 scholarships in a year. Basketball, 13 scholarships. Everybody, you know, the cap is 13. Everybody in the Big Ten gets exactly the same television money. Everybody in the Big Ten gets exactly the same bowl money. I mean, everything is done all the time to do what? Level the playing field until this comes up. This, now for Penn State, it's great. This is not a level playing field. And that's really interesting. Penn State can offer, I think it's like $4,500 per full scholarship student athlete. Michigan State can only do $1,700. I think Ohio State's like, I want to say $3,000. Michigan's like $2,000. And I don't think a lot of... We briefly touched on it when it came out, but didn't delve into it extensively. I mean, I'll talk a little bit more about that with Jim Delaney later. But this is going to be something that's very interesting playing out over the next 5 years. The next 5 years. Penn State, I believe, and I think I said 4,500. I believe Penn State's stipend allowance is $4,788. How about that one? I mean, that is, and that's number one in the Big Ten. Here are the numbers for you. These are the numbers. Penn State, $4,788 stipend. Wisconsin, $4,265. Nebraska's third at $3,544. Indiana's fourth at $3,026. Maryland is fifth at $3,024. Rutgers is sixth at $2,763. Illinois is seventh at $2,500. Ohio State is eighth at $2,454. Northwestern is ninth at $2,326. Minnesota is tenth at $2,194. Iowa is 11th at $2,128. Michigan is 12th at $2,054. Purdue is 13th at $1,920. And Michigan State is dead last at $1,872. And the irony is, you know what the difference is between Michigan State and Penn State in out-of-state tuition? The difference between the two is $405 a year in out-of-state tuition, room, board, everything put together. In-state, Penn State's much higher. How about that? I mean, Penn State not only offers higher, I mean, just look in their own division. Penn State in its own division is 1, Indiana's 2, and Indiana is $1,750 behind Penn State. That's the difference between 1 and 2 just in the division. Maryland's 3, Rutgers is 4, Ohio State's 5, Michigan is 6th, and Michigan State's 7th in the division. That is a big advantage, and I think it's a recruiting advantage. And that's what's really odd about this. Everything that we see in the NCAA, everything we see in the Power Five conferences, is all about level playing field until it comes to this. Now, there's nothing to complain about here in central Pennsylvania. Hey, guess what? That's not Ohio State on top of the heap. That's not Michigan. It's Penn State that's number one at $4,788 cost of attendance. That's the stipend they can hand out. Now, at the same time, you got to make the money back. Yeah, that's a lot per athlete to be doling out. But it is an advantage. We'll come back, talk about basketball rules in a moment. Which one I don't think will make it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
May is a full month of special days. Memorial Day, Mother's Day, Cinco de Mayo, and of course, Hyundai!
Hyundai!
And Sunbury Motors Hyundai deals are on fire. Sonata starting at $19,790 or take advantage of 0% for 75 months. Hyundai Genesis discounted over $11,000. Hyundai Elantra starting at $16,989. The year's best selection of Santa Fe and Santa Fe Sport all-wheel drives in stock with rates as low as 1.9%. Take over $6,000 off in-stock 2015 Sonata hybrids. Check us out at sunburymotors.com. America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Great fuel mileage. Think Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Cutting-edge technology and safety. Think Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Pressure and gimmick-free buying with the lowest prices. Think Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Plus tax and tax financing with approved credit and all buyers will qualify. See dealer for details.
Well, I have Patrick Chambers on the show Thursday, and one of the areas I'm going to address with him are the proposed basketball rules. They've cleared one committee. The final vote is next month. They took the shot clock, and they're going to take it. They want to go from 35 to 30. I know Patrick wanted 24. But 30 is at least a good start, and that will definitely make it. I don't leave no ifs, ands, or buts. That's definitely going to make it. Expanding the restricted arc from 3 feet to 4 feet. Now, they're trying to reduce, look. They're trying to reduce the amount of charges on, you know, or blocking fouls and, you know, turning them into blocking fouls and not charges. Better for the offense. That'll clear as well. Removing one timeout from the second half and allow only 3 timeouts to be carried over to the second half. Coaches are not going to be crazy about that, but that's going to make it. Also, what's going to be absolutely going to make it is that combining a timeout. For example, Kevin and I are coaching a game. There's 8:04 to go in the half, and the under-8 timeout's coming up, but my team is just playing like manure, so we're going to call a timeout. It used to be you'd call a timeout, and boy, then the next dead ball at 7:48, you got another timeout. What they're going to do now is they want to combine the two into one timeout. So even though you call a 30-second timeout, it's a full media timeout. That way you don't have the back-to-back timeouts. That absolutely makes it. removing the ability of the coach to call live ball timeout. That's the one I don't think is going to make it. I'm not so sure that one's going to make it.
Let's I don't even see. Think it should.
Well, no, I think the coach should be allowed to call it.
Yep, I agree.
Now, the postseason NIT is going to experiment with six fouls next year. So the postseason NIT will experiment with six fouls. Let's see. The other one is eliminating the five-second closely guarded rule. I have railed about this for years. Why do you need a close? Why do you need a five-second closely guarded when you have a shot clock? That rule's been archaic forever. And that part of what my reasoning is that it's one less thing for the officials to do. Concentrating on other things instead of waving your arm back and forth. 1,001, 1,002. You have a shot clock. I don't care if you're closely guarded. You have 30 seconds. Shoot it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I think all the rules that they're talking about, the only one that the coach is going to be upset, I think, with the fact they couldn't call a timeout themselves. If you have one fewer timeout and a half, the coach should still have the ability to call one of those three timeouts in a live ball situation. I think that might be one that's going to get a little bit of a fight. Everything else is going to happen. Changing the 10-second rule. I always have hated the 10-second rule crossing the timeline. Always have. Not that it takes 10 seconds. No, that makes sense. In the NBA, it's 8. It's when the ball, for example, I get trapped, is 8 in the shot clock, there's 8 on the clock, boom, I call timeout. Do you know what the rule is? Get a new 10. Well, they're going to eliminate that. You got 10 seconds, and hey, I call timeout, and you got 2 to go, you got 2 to get it over. That to me that's much better. Eliminating the 5 second closely guarded, I have found that rule to be absurd ever since they put the shot clock in. And I've talked about this repeatedly on the air for years. Why do you need it? There's such a concentration that officials have on feet, body position, things like that. Now I've been asking them all these years to go out and see if a guy's within a certain area where the dude's closely guarded. Really? He got 30 seconds to shoot. They're going to remove the prohibition on dunking in pregame. Well, it's about time.
Why was there a prohibition on dunking?
Oh, because they don't want you playing with the rim. These are all collapsible rims. You know, that's what fans want to see. It's a pregame. It's a warm-up. They're like, ooh, ooh. You hear oohs and ahs and things like that. You know, it is entertainment. Let them entertain it. It's all right. You know, and these are all collapsible rims now. You know, for example, take Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham is prohibited from slam dunking over the crossbar. Well, the difference with a crossbar and a hoop is this. The hoop has a collapsible rim that springs back to its normal spot. Sometimes a crossbar gets knocked out of place.
And has.
And has, yes. And they're going to have the ability to look at the shot clock on made field goals throughout the entire game. They can go to the replay to see. A little bit too late for Nigel Hayes, but that's all right. I think most of these rules make it, if not all. The one I think you're going to find balking at by the coaches is their ability to call a timeout in a live ball situation. I don't think that's worked out poorly. I think that's actually worked out well over the years. Everett Golson, he's got what, Florida State? Does that look right?
Yeah, it's Florida State. I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, I get that he's already done, but is this a good idea not having players sit out a year?
Well, I've never liked the rule. Look, Penn State will benefit this year because Kevin Reiner is going to be playing. So football, Penn State will benefit. Jordan Dickerson was able to play almost right away in basketball. Allen Roberts did. Look at Michigan. They got three guys. You know, people don't realize Michigan has three guys in the graduate transfer area. They have the quarterback, Jake Rudock, from Iowa. And the guy has 13 career 200-yard passing games. He's eligible to play now. Blake O'Neal, they lost their punter, Will Hagerup. You know, as a senior, graduated. And Hagerup was a good punter. They get Blake O'Neal in, the Aussie from Weber State. Senior, eligible, playing right away. Lions, the DB from Stanford, transferred in as well as a graduate student, eligible. Guy has three career interceptions, the whole deal. I mean, you know, Lions got to start right away for Jim Harbaugh. This is a rule I have not liked and have never liked, even though, you know, Penn State has benefited from it. I just don't like the rule. I know the object is to graduate, and yes, Everett Golson has graduated. But, I mean, promoting to me that kind of collegiate free agency. I know you graduated, but.
See, that's the way I saw it, too. I see it as being free agency right now, even though, as you said, you're already done with school. I get that, but. Boy, that just, it opens up a very frightening door to me.
Well, you know what, though, Kevin? I think we've just got to have to accept that it's the modern era of collegiate sports, and I just went through the stipends in the previous half hour on cost of attendance for all 14 Big Ten schools. And I think that at some point, you know, I may not like the rule, but I do like the fact that they've graduated. That part I do like. They're not just getting out of there without a degree. But I think it's something we're just going to have to accept, because everything, look, when you are faced with lawsuits on two different fronts, the O'Bannon suit, which is now an appeal, and the Kessler suit, which includes Nigel Hayes as an active plaintiff in there. When you're getting hit by lawsuits on each side, I mean, do you think, I mean, I know they've talked about cost of attendance for a while. I know they've talked about the meal plan for a while. But let's be honest, all of these reforms have been accelerated because of how they're perceived by outside entities. Cost of attendance has been kicked into another gear after the O'Bannon case went sour. The meal thing, because of the Napier thing, which should have been available anyway, even though, you know, Napier gets the Drama Queen of the Year award. I mean, you go on a road trip, I think they throw out more than they eat, but that's a different story. And, you know, but it's also part of the training, and I think you need the fuel for training, and they've got the money to do it, okay? So it's the right thing, especially the walk-ons. To me, the biggest part of that, Kevin, was the walk-ons being on the meal plan. That was the single most significant part of the 24/7 meals.
Yeah, if you made the team, at least there was a little bit of a financial reward to it.
I mean, Kevin, you have a locker like everybody else. You're expected to run at 6 a.m. like everybody else. You're expected to lift at 9 a.m. like everybody else. You're expected to be out of practice like everybody else. Oh, you know, and food is fuel. That's part of your training. So if you're supposed to be running at 6, you're supposed to be lifting at 9, you should be able to go over and get meals anytime you need it. And I completely agree with you. It should have been done a long time ago. The walk-ons were allowed to do that. Well, at least that part's been corrected. That's good. But I think when it comes now, let's bring it back full circle now to graduate transfers. Right now, everything that we're seeing is leaning toward the student athlete. They're trying to keep the model as collegiate as possible, but giving the student athlete as many breaks as possible without making them full salaried employees. How about that? So how do you do this? So that's why they're not going to go back on this. They're not going to go back on this. They've graduated. And it's just one more headache they don't need. Hey, let's put in a rule. Let's fight this. No, I think that's not a fight you pick right now in today's climate. You know, you and I may not like it, and I think people understand why we don't like it, but it's also a new world, and you have to pick your fights. You have to pick, I think, where you go with this. The stipend thing is at least, maybe it's enough to kind of keep people away on paying athletes or unionization of athletes. Making sure they have meals 24/7, same story. I just don't think that this is the time when you're trying to give student athletes options in life and make the scholarship even more valuable. This is not a fight they're going to pick. Just my opinion. I don't like it, but you know what? If I'm sitting there and I'm saying, hey, you think we ought to fight this? I'd look and say, no, I don't think this is right now. Would I have fought this 10 years ago? Yes. Climate was different. You didn't have the O'Bannon lawsuit. You didn't have the Kessler lawsuit. You didn't have Northwestern fighting on unionization. I mean, Northwestern players voted. They haven't released it, but I know they voted against it. But you didn't have all these issues. I mean, think of it. A year ago, last summer, we were talking about the O'Bannon lawsuit dealing with EA Sports. We were talking extensively about the Northwestern unionization vote. And then during the Final Four, I talked about the Kessler lawsuit. And when you are surrounded like that, and the two lawsuits and unionization would forever change your model, you have to make some modifications to it, which they've done, that maybe can keep the wolves back from your model, and you've got to pick your spots to fight, and this is not one of them to fight when it comes to graduate transfers. So Everett Golson is going to go to Florida State. But Kevin Reiner is going to Penn State. It works out. All right, tonight the Minnesota T-Wolves have a 25% chance at the first overall pick because they have more ping-pong balls in there than anybody else.
Stupid. Just my opinion. I could be wrong.
I told you Kevin was working himself to an emotional lather. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. I find the lottery intriguing, the draft fine. You don't really change your team that much with the draft. Kevin is able to bottle it up into simple terms. He refers to it as stupid.
It's stupid. I mean, if you're the worst team in the league, you get the first pick. Not a 25% chance that you have 250 balls in there and good luck and come on. I didn't go to the corner store, put a dollar down, and pick my favorite numbers. Your worst team in the league, you pick first. Make it simple.
Worst they can pick is fourth, by the way, so you everyone knows the rules.
But, if you're the worst team in the league, I don't care how you got there. Listen, if you wanted to tank and you wanted to put your fan base through that, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend because Philadelphia heard a lot of garbage through the time that they were reportedly tanking, then fine. You tank, and then you get the first pick. Good luck getting your fan base back in the next year. Think about the money you're going to lose in the next couple of years, even if you do get the best player out there. Does one player, I'm asking you this question, does one player on a team in the NBA that is not LeBron James make a difference? One player in a team that's last?
No.
Now, if it's LeBron, I might be able to give you a little bit more of a, I might be able to say, maybe.
Right. Well, okay, let's take a look quickly at just a quick history of this. Magic Johnson made a huge impact on the Lakers when he was drafted, but they did it in conjunction with a trade that got them Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from Milwaukee. Larry Bird got drafted by the Celtics, but they also made a deal with Golden State that allowed them to acquire Robert Parrish, get rid of the first pick, pick third. It turned out to be Kevin McHale. Then they acquired Dennis Johnson. I mean, that's how the Celtics were built. You know, Bird came in the same time as Parrish, McHale. They already had Cornbread Maxwell. Michael Jordan, he helped the Bulls initially run until Scottie Pippen came along. And then they added in Dennis Rodman. They added in Tony Kukoc and some really good role players. Dwayne Wade has won three championships in his career. People forget the first one was with Shaquille O'Neal. Kobe Bryant had Shaq. Celtics got three guys, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett together. Just like Miami got LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade together. You cannot turn your team around in the NBA with the draft. You can't. It's been a proven thing over and over and over again. You have to do it in conjunction with other stars. You have to have a collection of stars that go your direction at the same time. That's how the NBA works, Kevin. In other words, Carl Anthony Towns, I think he's going to be a good player in the NBA. I think Jahlil Okafor is going to be a good player. I think D'Angelo Russell is going to be a good player. Not one of the three is going to turn around the franchise. Anthony Davis is an excellent player. He's just going to get better and better. And he was drafted, 3 years ago? The New Orleans Pelicans finally made the playoffs with Anthony Davis. He was brilliant in the playoffs. But remember, what position did they make the playoffs in? Eighth. And that's with a really, really talented player in Anthony Davis, who was the first overall pick in the draft a couple of years ago. I mean, Wiggins is, Andrew Wiggins is a really good player. He was the first overall pick in the draft last year by the Cavaliers. They dealt him for Kevin Love. So what team did he end up on? The Minnesota Timberwolves. Who has the most ping pong balls tonight in the lottery? The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay, so let me understand if I get this correct. There's 14 balls that are placed into the Powerball machine, as I will call it. It's mixed for 20 seconds, then they draw the first one. The remaining balls are mixed for 10 more seconds, then the second one's drawn. And they repeat that until four balls are drawn, and the team that has been assigned that four-digit combination is awarded the number one pick. Did that make any sense? Yeah. I don't understand that. Why don't you just put the logo on every one of the balls?
They used to do.
Why numbers? I don't get that. Why confuse me any more than I already have been confused by this process?
Yeah, but you're not going to watch.
Nope.
Then why are you bothered by something you're not going to watch? You know, in fact, why don't you DVR it?
Because to me, this is part of the problem with the NBA. They're not doing anything to make me want to watch this.
Yet as a league, they're number two in ratings.
But they are doing well. Yeah, I can't deny that. So maybe it is just me.
TNT is thrilled beyond words right now because they get... Well, first of all, I think both end up with something good out of this. ESPN gets the West this year. So they get Steph Curry and Golden State. You know, Harden's a really good player, not much of a draw. Howard's a good player, not much of a draw. Curry's kind of a draw. I think people love watching him play. And Golden State, Kevin, Golden State to me is a fun team to watch. I've said that for 2 years on this show, right? Golden State is the one NBA team where I sit back and go, you know, I'm going to watch a little bit of them because they're fun, they're wide open, and they're good.
I'll be watching a few of the playoff games just because Mike Muscala's playing.
Right. Now, on the other side, you've got Atlanta, which, I mean, I know we talked about Mike. But the other side's LeBron James and Kyrie Irving.
I'm not saying I wouldn't watch for LeBron either. I mean, I'll be honest, I'll watch for LeBron.
He's a transcendent player.
But my primary thing is I'll watch Mike.
That's because you like Mike?
Not going to watch any ping pong balls.